Matthew 16, praise the Lord. Matthew 16, okay, verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, others Elijah, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But who say you that I am?" And Simon then answered, that Simon, but Jonah, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon, but Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, I said earlier on in the morning that revelation is not a feeling. Revelation is an understanding that comes from faith. Remember that? It's not a feeling. It's not like, "Oh, Peter just had this gutsy feeling." No. It's, he spoke from the Old Testament scriptures. Now, let's go over some things we said in the morning. It's just good to repeat them. Sometimes they were too fast, so we get it all over again. So we said, does God hide? You know, that's a question I asked earlier. Does God hide information? We said in Matthew 5, Jesus in 14, he says, "Nobody lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. A city," verse 13, "set upon a hill cannot be hid." And he says, "Let your light shine before men," later on, "and that you may see your good works and glorify your Father." And he says, "I am the light of the world." He says, "You are the light of the world." So how would he be called the light of the world? And then he's found hiding anything whatsoever. We say that's not possible. In other words, so the phrase "God hid," which we found in Luke 10, 20 to 22, and Matthew 11, 25, you could just make a mental note of that, is what you call a metonymy in English. A metonymy is when there are four actors, or more than one actor, in an experience or an event, and you just mention one of them. And sometimes the one you mention is not the active person. For example, when you read, "And God hardened the heart of Pharaoh," the honest truth is, Pharaoh hardened his heart against God. Okay? God is mentioned because God is part of the hardening. God is the beneficiary of the hardening. So, metonymy will mention one of the actors, you know, it's about the person. So the hardening is about God, alright? That is, Pharaoh hardened his heart against God. You see, the case of Judas, for example, in Acts chapter 1, from verse 17, 18 or thereabout, where they said that Judas purchased a field. Okay? A field. But Judas couldn't have purchased a field. He died. They now use the money that he rejected to buy the field. But because they were the proceeds of his unrighteousness, it was accorded that honor of buying it. Even though he wasn't really part of the purchase. So a metonymy would be to mention one of the many actors as though he's responsible for everything. Now, God doesn't hide. I mentioned that earlier on. So when he says, "He has revealed it unto you by my Father," which is the word apocalypsis, the truth is, Peter simply believed the scriptures. That was what he meant by "he revealed it unto you." And then we looked at that, Matthew 11 again, verse 25, where he says that, "Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed it unto babes." Now, why did he say that? Because oftentimes it's good to go through the context. The context was in verse 20, he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. In other words, they didn't believe in him. So he now said, well, these things are hid from the wise and the prudent. In other words, he calls that city that rejected him the wise and the prudent. and they're revealed unto babes. So what hides the word is not God, it is the wisdom and the prudence of man. And I really want you to pay very good attention, because I need you to really listen. A young man once told me that I don't have to hear you all through. I just need to hear you for 10 minutes. I know what you're about to see. Well, that's quite intelligent. So, the wise and the prudent is now the contrast of babes. A babe in this instance, you know, babe is used, I told you earlier, it could be used to rebuke. I no longer could speak to you. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, 1 Corinthians 3:1, even as unto babes in Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought like a child, I understood as a child. Now I become a man, I put away childish things. Okay? However, this is a bit different, but in 1 Corinthians 14:20, he says, in evil be children, but in understanding be men. So you can see a word only means what it means the way it's used. In Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that you be no longer babes tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That again is not a good statement. It wants you to grow up. However, notice in 1 Thessalonians 2, I'm almost forgetting the verse, I think it must be verse 8 or so. Paul says, when we were among you, 1 Thessalonians 2, let me just check that reference. Yes. Verse 7. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherished our children. Now, the gentle there means that we were children. We were innocent. We were innocent. The same word that he said they shouldn't be. In other words, it depends on how it's used. So, when it comes to faith in the gospel, you ought to be what? A child. Alright? When it comes to growing in those truths, you have to now mature. Praise the Lord. Okay, so, therefore, the babe will be the fellow who receives the gospel by faith. The prudent and the wise will be the unbelieving hearts, who based on their knowledge, the knowledge of this world, now oppose the knowledge of God. You understand that? So, God didn't hide it from them. Their stance towards his gospel was what hid from God. Let's put it like that. In 1 Corinthians 1, which we're going to stay with in a moment, Paul, like he does to all the teachings of Jesus, expands it. He gives it much more verbiage in 1 Corinthians 1. See how Paul explains this. In verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He shows us a very significant aspect of the gospel. He takes away symbolisms. He's saying the baptism speaks of the preaching. He says, because if I use water, then the words are of no effect. So that's what he's saying here. And then he goes on to say, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Watch that statement. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The same words we read earlier, the wise and the prudent, sophos and sunetos, those who are skillful, intelligent, those who are artistic, those who are very, very brilliant, those who are, you know, they figure everything out, and those who know a lot. He says, he'll bring it to nothing. He'll bring it to nothing. In other words, God's gospel doesn't celebrate what man celebrates. Neither does he hate it, but doesn't celebrate it. So he says to me, watch this, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? That's not a lawyer, please. Alright, let's go further. Not God. made foolish the wisdom of this world. That's the insight of this world. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I need you to hear this well. So, he's saying, by the wisdom of the world, they didn't know God. Now, he's not saying the wisdom of this world is evil. He's only saying you can't know God through the wisdom of this world. Then he says, watch. For after, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Then he says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, insight. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Because to the Jews, the cross or the tree, it means something else. To the Greeks, it doesn't make sense. This is where criminals are put. Then God says, that's power. You see? So, now, of course, in this word, the word cross there, or the preaching we preach Christ crucified, it's not about the tree now, it's about the sufferings of Jesus. Okay? He's saying the sufferings of Jesus is power. That doesn't make any kind of sense to an intellectual person. He says no. Power means to take over. Power means to rule and reign. Then he says, what's the next one? In verse 24, unto them which are called Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Figure of speech? Right, good. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. But you see, you're calling brethren how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, which God has chosen, yea, those things which are not, to bring to nothing, or not, things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh should glory in his presence. Look at 30. Let's take 30 together. Let's go. Of him are you where? In Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. That means our wisdom in God is foolishness to the world. Our righteousness doesn't make sense. Our sanctification and our redemption, they all are foolish in the wisdom of this world. Why is it so? And this is the true praise of God. This is how you know the true praise of God. Watch what I'm about to say. Anybody can be grateful for having material things. There's no wrong in that. But anybody could be. But it's saying here in verse 31 that it is written, he that glories, let him glory where? In the Lord. So this is where the believer's praise is different. His praise is based on the wisdom of God. It's based on the worship of God in spirit and in truth. So, therefore, okay, who Jesus is and what Jesus has done is what we glory in. Now, remember, the wisdom of this world hides the wisdom of God. Would that be right? Would that be correct? Okay. The wisdom of this world hides the wisdom of God. Okay? Now what's faith? Faith is to believe in the wisdom of God. So that means whatever God calls it, that's what faith will call it. Okay? Faith will call the things that be not as though they were. Faith will say it the way God will say it. Okay? So we have two kinds of knowledge, two kinds of wisdom, two kinds of philosophies, two kinds of beliefs. So, Paul now says, this is why, And I, brethren, chapter 2, verse 1, when I came to you, I came not in the excellency of speech. He uses the word hyperoche, that is superior intelligence. I came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, even though it is an intellectual, that's Paul, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in trembling. And my speech, okay? And my speech and my preaching. Now, don't forget the preaching. The preaching is Christ crucified, 1 Corinthians 1:21. The preaching is the preaching of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:17. The preaching is the power of God, 1 Corinthians 1:18, and the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1:24. We just read that. And when it is preached in the wisdom of the world, it is what? It is what? So what we call the power of God in the wisdom of God, in the wisdom of the world is what? Weakness. So, Paul says, that's why when I came to you, I didn't come with the excellency of speech. No. I had to declare the testimony of God. That is, the testimony of God in human wisdom is what? Foolishness. So I preach Christ crucified. Then he says, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. There's nothing wrong. The word enticing there is actually not a negative word. It's the word pathos, P-E-I-T-H-O-S. It means to persuade, persuasive words, which is also used for the gospel. But it says of man's wisdom. For example, someone comes in and says, God is about to take over Nigeria. Everybody standing against your destiny will fall for your sake. You know, in the wisdom of men, that's a lot good. But when you hear that, you say, let me tell you something. The kingdom is taking over. We're going to uproot all the Muslims, remove them from wherever they are. We're taking over the land. And he says things like that. You know, that's the wisdom of the world. And it sounds nice. I sounding nonsense. Oh boy, that's not what I meant to say. I meant to say, I parocha, high speaking. He says, I determined not to know anything. But that foolishness of God, that weakness of God. Watch this. He says, my speech and my preaching. So, we don't toast people. Say, you know what? You want to move to the next level in your life? You want to step up? You know, and you say those things that are in the wisdom of the world. He says, my speech and my preaching were not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration, which is the word apodexis. It means to flash light. The demonstration of the Spirit, which is the power of God. Now, is that demonstration preaching? Yes. It's via preaching. My speech and preaching. Why is it a demonstration of the Spirit? It's not an experience. It's a message. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Is it making sense now? But in what? The foolishness of God. Right? The weakness of God. Is that right? Because the foolishness of God and the weakness of God is the power of God. Foolishness of God to man, weakness of God to man, but it's the power of God. Does it make sense? Okay, so any attempt I make to convince men in men's wisdom will hide the wisdom of God. So, he says that this is not known to the princes of this world that come to nothing. Rather, it's for our glory. Which of not the princes of this world knew, verse 8, for they know it, they would not crucify the Lord of glory. Okay? Look at verse 9. eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men, that is the wisdom of men, what they can see, what they can hear, and what they can imagine. So he says, this is not man's wisdom, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, which God has prepared, verse 9 again, to those that love him. So, in the wisdom of the world, okay, it has its own vocabulary. The world has what it calls power. It has what it calls authority. Okay? And God has his own definition. So, the definitions are not the same. What the world will call weakness, God will call power. So, understand that, therefore, there will be diverse definitions. They will not be the same thing. Paul says, I came in weakness. What it means, I came with the gospel. That weakness of God, that's how I came to you. I came, and that weakness is that I knew nothing but Christ and him crucified. That's the weakness by which he came. I came with the message. Okay? So, having known that, it means that the wisdom of this world, it hides God's wisdom. And so, we might need to go through a lot of renewing of the mind in how we use terms and what we call what. Hallelujah. So, for example, is the 2 Corinthians 4, the second letter. Paul says, if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that what? Believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. Now in chapter 3 verse 14, interestingly, he says, when Moses is read, there's a veil upon their hearts, their minds are blinded even till this day. Which means, that wisdom had been in the Old Testament. So it's not a wisdom that is only found in the four Gospels, it's a wisdom found in the Old Testament. But when the veil is taken away, you will see that wisdom. So, which means that's why the Jews will call it a scandal. Why? The veil upon their heart. This doesn't make sense. They call it a scandal. Why do you think Herod was jittery when he heard a king was born? A 2-year-old boy. His idea of kingdom was that the guy would bring soldiers and was an illegal occupant. The wicked run it when Roman pursues him. So he had to run. But Jesus didn't remove any Herod. He removed the Herod itself. Satan, sin and death. See, God's definition is very different. Very different. They thought it was an earthly king. So they were, oh my God. They were scared. Said, no. What do we do? They took all the kids away from 2 years old down and he killed them. Why? They killed them in the wisdom of this world. Believing that a child would grow up, form an army, and kill. That's why when he came before Pilate said, are you a king? He was saying, let's see what he's going to say. You know. And he says, well, my kingdom is not of this world. Then he made a remarkable statement. If you're of this world, all of God is soldiers. Again, look at the wisdom of God from the wisdom of men. All of God's soldiers, they will have fought for me. Praise the Lord. Imagine that. He said it's not of this world. So, which means what he will define as kingdom is not what you, or sorry, not you are born again, what the world will define as the kingdom. So, unbelief does what? It hides the word. And unbelief can present itself as intelligence. Unbelief can be very intelligent, right? Highly skilled, very logical. It will see in his wisdom foolishness. Okay? So, God's hiding his word is because you can only see what he's saying by faith. So, what Peter saw, or what Jesus recorded or referred to in Peter, in Matthew 16:15, was that Peter believed the prophets. Hallelujah. Alright. So, let's go back to that John 2. What it means is, faith will use whose definition? God's definition. So, God's definition of power will be your definition of power. Okay? Now, I want to step it up a little bit. Praise the Lord. So, God's definition will be your definition. Okay? The moment it's not your definition, then you're stepped out of faith in your unbelief. Or, should we call it, the wisdom of this world. So, let's go to that John 2 again. John 2 and verse 3. They have no wine. Okay? Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not come yet. So, Jesus gives us God's wine. It says, in his own hour. We saw that earlier on, John 12:23, and we saw John 17:1, the hour of his resurrection. So, he therefore defines wine. In Matthew 26 and verse 29, he calls it the new wine, which he will drink in the kingdom. Now, let me ask you this quickly. Whatever God calls wine, is it figurative or real? So whatever we call wine will be figurative. I'm stepping up a bit now. It's man's physical expression that is the figure of speech. Not God's word. Sometimes we tell, it's God that uses symbols. No, it's man that uses symbols. So, the wine at that wedding will be the symbol. What Jesus called wine is the wine. Let me see how you're following this one. Okay. So, let's move forward a little bit more. So, the wine will be what God says it is. The wine is in the resurrection. Okay? So, God's wine is in the resurrection. And that is the wine. Or can we call it the true wine? Okay? That's God's wine. So, when they sat at that table, and they said, this is my blood. And they looked around, and saw his blood was right there in his body. It says, shed for the remission of sins. Remission of sins. To take away sins. Okay, let's watch. So we follow him to the cross. Before we go to the cross anyway, he has been flogged many times. He prayed in the garden, blood came out of his body. Okay? He got on the cross. Before he got to the cross, self, a lot of Cain weeps. Blood was gushing out. So, sins were being taken care of. You know. Where was the sin? It was in the soil. When he got on the cross again, you know, even the blood was dropping. It was catching sin in the atmosphere. So, dealing with sin. He ought to have asked,
When God says blood, what is he talking about?
Hallelujah. Are you with me? What is he saying? He says, shed for the remission of sins. Sins are spiritual. So, you need to get his definition. Don't forget, if you stay in the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of God will be hid from you. Alright, so, let's see another one. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus. Say, Rabbi, thou art a great teacher come from God, a teacher come from God. No man doeth these miracles except God be with him. Then he says to him, except a man be born again, John 3:3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. Genoa anothing. Born outside. Born new. Then he says, oh. He talks like I would have talked. So is it possible when a man is old to enter his mother's womb, born the second time? What wisdom is that? They said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of water, I'm referring to the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. So, what does Jesus call water? The Spirit. Is water symbolic? No. That is water in the kingdom of God. That's what God calls water. Not just that what God calls it. That is God's water. Hallelujah. So he says, he that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. My father and I said to you must be born again. The wind blows where you listen. You can hear the sounds thereof. You can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going to. So it's everyone that is born of the Spirit. Again, he goes to, in just the next chapter, he meets a woman at the well. And then they start the conversation from verse 9 about the well and water. And then he says, if you knew the gift of God, verse 10, and he that asks of thee, give me water, you will have asked of him, and he will have given you living water. What do you mean by living water? It's just saying, you know, is it draw? To draw. Where are you going to get this living water from? He said, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I give you, you shall be in your well, springing up. Jesus is talking literally. He's the woman that is talking figuratively. God's word is not the figure of speech. God's word is the reality. So every time I see physical water or water to us, I know it represents something greater than this. So he says, living water, which is the Spirit. Again, in John 7, last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus called and asked, he that said, let him come unto me, I drink, for as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. They say, living water? He's not using a figure of speech. He's giving you the definitions of the kingdom. When you say water, this is what you call water. This make he of the Spirit, which those that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. You see, this is
Not understanding, this is why people still go for water baptism. That's why they go for. I don't have a problem against water baptism at all, at all. I was baptized with water too. At Jericho, Ele Ele Badon. And I wore white shirt and white shorts. And they dipped me and said, I wore it three times in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And they asked me, what is your Christian name? I said, Christian. That's where I got my Christ from. I didn't even think about it. So shall it be forevermore. So that was it. So why did I do it? To announce to the world that I'm born again. Was the world there? Whatever. Those that were there were the world. There were just four people. So what was it for? It is to demonstrate in the natural what has been done in the spirit. Oh, very serious. So what if I don't demonstrate it? Well, it shows you don't have faith. Seriously? Faith in what exactly? In the water or in the message of the gospel? Well, you have to show in the water that you believe the message of the gospel. Let me hug you. Come on, let me just give you a hug. Yeah. Oh, you are so lovely. Hallelujah. Are you still there? When God talks to you and he mentions water, don't let the wisdom of this world hide his word from you. Hallelujah. When God says water, don't get too intelligent. Okay? You know, we will now ask you, where are the scribes of this world? Where are the disputers of this age? Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Alright, let's go to one interesting one. Very interesting one. Go back to that Matthew 26 now. A very, very interesting one. Verse 27. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it. This is my blood. Hallelujah. He said, drink my blood, right? Come on. Did you see their teeth on his body? Ah! Did I put straw? Hallelujah. No, no, God, don't say that. That is in the resurrection. Oh, beautiful. So, did you drink his blood? How many cups did you take? You drank his blood. You were coming to be born again. Are you ready for this? Are you sure you are ready? This is the blood of Jesus. If he told you that this is the blood of Jesus, drink it. Even with your faith and your insight into God's word, will you drink the blood of Jesus? Forget all the drama they do with Tasty Time. I'm saying real blood. If they give you blood of Jesus, in there for cup, emoji, drink, you will shout blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. But if you don't drink his blood, you have no life. Hallelujah. But you are just admitting now that he didn't drink his blood. You just admitted it now. I got you red-handed. That means you don't have life. Because you should drink his blood. He said all of it. No taste, you. All of it. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Look at John 6.
all it. Not some, everything. And those folks saw him die on the cross. And much of that blood was wasted. Where would they drink from now? Peter, where is blood? You don't finish, oh. John! Get us a cup! Get us a cup! I can't get that. The soldiers will get me. They were all denying. They couldn't even get blood. How would you even go near the blood of the criminal and say, sorry, I need his blood. He said, we'll take your own. Come here. Everyone fled. No one saw his blood. But from afar. Hallelujah. No. Brother, he's talking about the communion. Let me hug you. Why would he say drink all of it? All. And he took one cup. He said 12, we should drink all. You have to know how he talks. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Put down that wisdom of the world. Take it away. It's blocking something. It's blocking something. Look at John 6. In John 6, he said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Is he speaking figuratively? No. He couldn't have been speaking figuratively. His bread is the bread. That's why he calls it the true bread. In verse 51, the living bread. So, the physical bread, the one that is baked in the bakery, is not the true bread. So, that has to be the symbol, if at all. It's not the true bread. So, God's definitions are not figures of speech. They are literal. Hallelujah. Are we together here? Alright, so he says, the true bread. He says, if you eat of it, he that believes on me shall never thirst. You shall never hunger. In verse 50, this is the bread that comes down from heaven. A man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread. Ah. Did you ask in 52? How shall this man give us his flesh to eat for God's sake? What's he preaching? What's their problem now? What they have learned in school. What you have learned in school is what is baked with flour is bread. That's not the Spirit of God that taught you. It's the world. Right? The world says, when you cut someone's body and blood comes out. When I was in the primary school, like staff school here, I remember there was one guy, very fat, Chukwueke Odega. Professor Odega's son was my classmate. He was so big. So me and a guy like that, I think he's Shegun Sifeso, I think that's his name. We planned and said, the guy is too fat. That I want to reduce his... So we said, we are going to get pee. Too much of cartoon. That will put the pin, then you go poo. So we're planning on the particular day to do it. I said, don't let's do it, there'll be too much blood. It's true, too much blood. Hallelujah. So the world will say, we have a cut. That's blood. And they are right. Praise the Lord. But Jesus said, this blood, you drink it. Where would you go in the world and say you drank blood? They say you enter covenant. So I say, me and my former boyfriend, that's how we caught covenant. We drank blood. There was a girl that told me, I said, you drank blood. For what? She said, for love. Blood. For love. Both of you are stupid. Say, sir, can you break the covenant? You are still stupid. Very, very stupid. You are the blood transfusion. Nonsense. Are you still there? Verse 23. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Finish. What kind of a spooky teaching is this? Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Don't you get his definitions? I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, I in him. Man doesn't have the definitions. God's the one who has the definitions. So he says, as the living Father sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which comes from heaven. Not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. That's how church decreased. If you were in that audience, forget what you now know. You just sit down and say, for the prince of this world knew it. And then in verse 60, many of the disciples heard this. They said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? What is speaking here? Sclerocardian. Hardness of heart. That's what they couldn't understand. When Jesus knew in himself the disciples' moment, he said, does this offend you? To the Jews, it's what? An offense. What if you shall see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? He's explaining. I'm talking about the resurrection. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The word I speak. Hallelujah. The word I speak. The words I speak, they are the Spirit and their life. Hallelujah. You learning something here? His flesh, his blood is his Spirit. Hallelujah. That is why it is blood that removes sin. Where was sin? Sin is in man. What does his blood do? It washes it. What is his blood? His Spirit is his blood. Hallelujah. That is why you can drink all of it. By one Spirit, you are all baptized into one body. And all be made to drink in the one Spirit. God is not the one that uses a figure of speech. It is us. Hallelujah. They are using symbols. The Spirit of God is the true blood. So the blood of God, which is man's relationship with man, where you find the DNA, relationship, is in the blood. So if you are going to be related with God, you must have his blood. And his blood is his Spirit. Hallelujah. Who's following this? Come on. Oh, let's slow down a bit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, God's word is literal. Our definitions are symbolic. But God's word is literal. So, in the old covenant, the only way they can describe it is to use the blood of an animal. That which flows in the animal. Okay? But you know what? Christ is no animal. Hallelujah. to us now, the blood of that lamb is the Spirit of God. He says the flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. You can see blood in a man and he's dead. But where the Spirit is, there is alive. Hallelujah. It is the Spirit that gives life. So, God's seeds are words and actions. It's not symbolic. They are literal. God's water, God's fruit. That's how we got it wrong. He said, Adam and Eve ate of the tree. They ate of the tree. Or they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because of the wisdom of this world, we pictured something planted somewhere that grows, then has mango. Particularly those of you who read that yellow book. One of the most powerful books ever written. Even if you are preaching today, you still think about that yellow book. You see those two people, husband and wife, around apple with leaves all over them. And it started. God's serpent is the devil. Hallelujah. Someone told me the Bible says, you trample upon snakes as scorpions. Give yourself brain. You take up serpents. Give yourself brain. What is God's serpent? It's the devil. And the works of the darkness. Don't have sclerocardia to that point. And enjoy yourself. Are you still there? You learning something? It seeds. So faith is how we see the mysterion. Faith. If it's in the natural, watch this. In the natural, it becomes impossible. In the natural, it becomes impossible because that's the wisdom of men. So in the natural, it will be impossible and foolish. But because we are men of faith, it is possible and it's God's wisdom. So when you read the Old Covenant and see what is impossible, if you read with your mind blinded, you call it foolish. This doesn't make sense. But if you read by the Spirit of liberty, faith, see, that's God's Spirit. Hallelujah. So God's definitions are your definitions. Are you learning something here? Jesus opened the man's eyes. The man was born blind. And then, look at the things he says. You must pay more attention to the words of Jesus than to the miracles. The miracles are meant to explain what he's saying. He opens the man's eyes, or before he does, he says, I am the light of the world. You think he's talking about seeing? No. He simply uses the opening of blind eyes. It's a figure of speech to the opening of eyes with the gospel. I am the light of the world. You have no darkness when you follow me. So when you see blind eyes open, is to tell you that our eyes are opened. Our eyes are opened. Glory to God. Because man's real eyes are on his heart. A man can see physically and is blind. But when you see on your heart, you see forever. Where does God look at your eyes? Your heart. That's God's definition. Hallelujah. Are you there? Because whether you like it or not, if a man's blind and he sees, one day it's going to close. It's going to go. He'll be gone. But when your eyes are opened by the gospel, they are open forever. Hallelujah. Who's following this? Come on. You following this? Yeah, yeah. Look at this. In Luke 12, Jesus talks about a wealthy man who has a whole lot. Luke 12. Watch his definitions. The man has a lot of money. He says in verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And so the man owned a lot. Not wrong in that, he made a lot of investment. He had no room to even put no stuff. In 18, he said, I'll pull down my bands. Luke 12, in 19, he says, soul, thou hast much goods, laid up for many years, take thine ease, he says, eat, drink, and be merry. There's no wrong in that. The man simply has worked for his money. He's made a lot of money. So he's a rich man. And Jesus says, God said unto him, it's one of the few stories he gave, and he said, God spoke. He says, God says unto him, fool. Now when God says you're a fool, you're an anointed fool. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall all those things be which you are provided? Then he says, so you see, that lays up treasure for himself, and is not rich. That's a bit interesting. I thought it's what you own that means you are rich. He says no. God's rich is in the giving. Wow. So, when you read the riches of his grace is the generosity of his grace. So, riches in God's language is generosity. You know, in the wisdom of the world, that's foolishness. You gave up, you are rich. No, no, no. You took in, you are rich. No, you gave up, you are rich. But the wisdom of the world hides the wisdom of God. The riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, Ephesians 1:18 refers to what he gave us. God's riches is God's generosity. Now watch this now. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul, writing to Timothy, he says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, in verse 18, who gives us all things what? Richly to enjoy. What do you mean by that? He says that they be rich in what? Good works. So God's made every believer generous. It's not what you own that makes you rich in God's kingdom, is what you give. So your wealth is in how you meet the needs of others. See that? Definitions. But in the wisdom of the world, that doesn't make sense. But that's the wisdom of God. Such that a church, for example, the Macedonian church, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going through poverty. And Paul says, watch the riches of their liberality. Their liberality. In other words, they're wealthy. Even though they have poverty, but they're wealthy. Glory to God. So, always pay attention to God's definition. That's the Bible definition. Remember, the book of Revelation, the church in Laodicea. Who wrote it in their books? This ministry has no need. There's no books. They wrote books like that. Laodicean church. They said, look, our bank account is bigger than many banks.
Laodicean International Apostolic Ministry. There are churches all over the world. Jesus said, you are neither hot nor cold.
Now, when we used that earlier in those days, it was to create revival. Brother, you are neither hot nor cold. You are not serving the Lord fervently and not backsliding. You are deceiving the brethren. No, he used that statement because in Colossae, they had this kind of water that came, like a confluence of water. I can't go into all that history. So there was this particular water. It wasn't hot, it wasn't cold, it was useless. Hot water can be used, cold water can be used, but this one, nothing. So when it says, you neither hot nor cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth, it was referring to their works. Their works was neither hot nor cold. It said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That is, it's useless. You should ask, what is this works? Some people think he's talking about sin. Or carrying women or carrying men. No. Or lack of prayer. No. Not at all. I'm sure they were even praying. Why did he say they were lukewarm? Why did he say they were useless? The works were useless. He said, because you said, I am rich. The prosperity gospel is a useless message. Is a useless message. God, see, people say God needs finances for the gospel. That's why you are twisting the Bible. No. He says, I'll spew it out. So you say, I'm rich and I have no needs. So don't you know that you are poor, wretched, and naked and blind? So sell what you have. In other words, change your doctrine. He says, it's useless. So the lukewarm church is the church that prides in material prosperity. It's a useless assembly in their works. The church of Jesus has no boast in the worldly things. Hallelujah. You follow what I'm saying? We have nothing to boast but the cross. Our boasts are foolish to the world. How can a Christian and an unbeliever be making the same claims? Look at the man that got divorced recently, Jeff Bezos. Just for marrying the man, the woman got $35 billion. For saying, I'm not marrying you again. It's not at that time you go and tell them divorce is wrong. What is wrong in divorce? They give you a tithe of that money. You're right, divorce is the will of God. We don't make such boasts in this in the kingdom of God. No? He calls it useless. Look at God's definition. I thought when the church says, you know what? Last week we checked our accounts, $100 million. 2 weeks ago. We bought all the airtime. Even in mass, we bought airtime. In Pluto, we bought airtime. We are buying airtime all over the place. We are taking over. Not a single need we have in this ministry. We say, they are moving forward. That ministry is, they have results. They have results. Jesus says, it's useless. It's not their wealth that is the problem. Is what they believe. Money is not God made, it's man made. I teach you something very simple about wealth. I said, I asked a fellow in one Bible school, I said, how much is this? What's the value of this chair? He said, I think it's about maybe 10 pounds or 20 pounds. I said, who put value on it? The Spirit of God
He said, no. He said, man. He said, that's what prosperity is. It's man-made. So say, God gave everything freely. Go and take someone's cow side. He makes his rain to shine, to fall. Go outside. Let the rain fall on you. Check your bank account. It's full. Just twisting the Bible. How is rain money? Go out tomorrow, if rain falls, fetch rainwater and go to the bank. How is that prosperity? Rain and sun. How is that prosperity? In fact, some people will even sell sun. Some people sell air. What's the air condition? They are selling air. They are processing it. If it was so free, why is that when there is no light? You complain. Why can't you stay outside and enjoy what it gives to the just and the unjust? Man puts value. So God is not in charge of prosperity. Man is in charge. This place, we paid. The books we printed, even though it had the word of God, we paid. He has given us all things freely. I've heard you. Go to any car shop and say, my father owns the world! Drive one out. You are your father. Are you still there? Glory to God. Are you there? Jesus called those works wretched. Not because money is evil, it's what they believe about it. Are you learning something? Quickly see something. So, God's definitions are faith definitions. Don't just say, I'm what he says I am. Or I'm who he says I am. Say, the blood is what he says it is. Hallelujah. Water is what he says it is. Bread is what he says it is. Power is what he says it is. Wisdom is what he says it is. What he says it is, sorry. Water is what he says it is. His house is what he says it is. That should be your definition. Wealth, riches, is what he says it is. You learning something? So, in our study, that's something we need to see. God's definitions. Health, we're going to, in the way Paul said to the Corinthian church, we're going to hide ourselves from the word of God. Always know that there are two kinds of knowledge in this world. There are two kinds of wisdom in this world. There is the wisdom of the world, and there is the wisdom of God. There is the knowledge of the word. You see, when Paul wrote to Colossae, we have a series out there, you can get on Living Word Media, explaining Colossians. Paul's battle in Colossae. Colossae was probably one of the most difficult churches. You know why? Colossae was a church that had what you can call syncretism. They had different kinds of knowledge in the same place. And so, as they were believing the gospel, they believed other things. You know, they mixed things up a lot. And Paul says, no. It's in Christ that is the treasures, hid the treasures of all wisdom. Colossians 2:3, and knowledge. Let no man spoil you with vain philosophy. So, in Colossae, they had intellectual knowledge. They also had superstition. They had the Jewish religion, everything in one place. Different streams. There are two kinds of knowledge. There's the knowledge of the world, and there's the knowledge of God. There's the wisdom of the world, and there's the wisdom of God. What it means is you are likely going to have two definitions of the same things.
Why do you think James said, if a poor person comes into the church, because he's not wearing, he's not looking nice, not looking too good, not looking too nice. I remember one time when we were on TV, I said, oh, when I was watching the television, years back, I said, you guys, there's some people where they are sitting, they're not looking nice. That they should change those who sit in front. I said it myself. After I said that, my heart just went, what did you just say? That's the world. And that's carnal. That's devilish. The church is not identified by what we wear. That means I brought into the church the wisdom of the world. Packaging. You know, packaging. You go to some programs like that. When they show you the pictures on Facebook, you say, ah, is this the program I attended? The people just have multiplied. I don't know where they came from. I said, no. Put people there. I was wrong. Because that's carnal. We don't use the world's definitions. It's not that brother that is poor. It's Bill Gates that is poor. Bill Gates is a poor man. Warren Buffett is a poor man. Are you ladies of it? I said to myself, it's wrong. James says, he comes in, he tells the guy who is well backed up. I see preachers showing four designers. Miserable. You are miserable. So I said, no, the dress of Jesus, they were casting lots. Say seamless. So who was casting lots? Soldiers. We have so many disgraceful teachings. In the same breath, they tell Jesus was poor, became rich. At what point, if his dress was expensive, when did he become poor again? Tossed to and fro. A preacher is showing you. Video. You are a vain man. Let's hear the word. Let's see the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Let's see the gifts of the Spirit. Keep your designer. Hallelujah. Machine. Our armor is the preparation of the gospel of peace. Don't bring the wisdom of the world to the ecclesia. Don't do it. You know, somewhere in our minds, if somebody sits beside you and his dress looks like a coat of many colors, and they now say, look at one another, you say, don't worry, whatever you are going through. He will see you. No, I can see you are facing some challenges. See how Satan took over. The wisdom of this world. James says, if somebody comes into your assembly, he's looking nice. Before he sees khakis, you're welcome to church. The other guy just comes, say, yes. And then he sits down. Say, no, you can't sit there. Are you sure you came to worship? Or you came for help? Jesus, don't you know that God has chosen. He says the poor, he has chosen them as rich. He says, your faith without works is dead. Where are the works of your faith? Why are you carnal? The ecclesia of God is so that when we come, the billionaire and the nothing there, they are brethren. That's what Paul said to Philemon. He said, look at me. Onesimus was your servant. Now he's your brother. And when a Jew hears the word, brother, Adelphos, it means you came from the same father.
That is the ecclesia. You have committees in church. They call it businessmen forum. Businessmen. Those are those who have money. The forum. Then what about the rest? Other men forum. No. You got it wrong. You are using the world's definitions. Paul says, look for among yourselves 7 men of honest reports, full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. Hallelujah. So look for among yourselves people who have more than 4 cars. Look for among yourselves those who have degrees. That's not what he said. Full of God's wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost. Those who give tongues and interpretation regularly. Who minister the revelation gifts. Hallelujah. Not with a lesser believers meeting. The guy's tummy is so big. He takes his car keys. He says, come here, come here. Say, hallelujah. You're blessed, bro. You're blessed, bro. You're blessed, bro. How much is donkey? Where's all this? Tongues, tongues, tongues. Let me help you. La, 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 la. Hallelujah! That is church. When you are in your community meeting, you do what you are doing. Not says community. When you are in your company, but when we come in the ecclesia, it's the Holy Ghost, the blood of Jesus, the bread of Christ, the body of Christ, the word of Christ. Woo! Glory to God! Glory to God! I said, glory to God! I said, glory to God! This is God's ecclesia. In the spirit we are one. Our blood is the same. Our flesh is the same. Hallelujah. By one spirit we are baptized into one body. We're made to drink into the blood of Christ. The spirit of the living God. I may not come from your hometown. I may not have your degrees. But we have the same blood. We have the same flesh. We have the same father. We have the same family. No matter what you wear, you wear something more glorious than that. You wear the whole armor of God. You are put on Christ. Hallelujah. It's of more value than designer wears. What we wear has no, it has no earthly value. Know ye not that your life is hid in Christ in God? And you have put on the old man and you have put on the new man. That's what we wear in church. That's what we wear in the services. Who we are in Christ. It's not a message alone. It's a consciousness. Who you are in Christ is not just a message. It's a consciousness. When you think about it, your degrees are not the issue anymore. When you think about it, it's not the kind of car that you drive. Or the kind of house that you live. When you think about it, you are spirit conscious. One blood, one Father, one nation. Hallelujah.